from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster. I'm not a star boy, and I guess you could say I'm a starry-eyed boy, but I'm a boy, like whether there's stars, whether I can see the stars and I'm looking for them in the sky or on the ground, I have that, if that's what a starry-eyed look is, I probably should watch where I'm going. Because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And these sponsors are what enable us to be here for you for free twice a week. So please check them out tomorrow when your hand hits the fridge. SleepWithMePodcast.com/sponsors. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots. And this is where I talk about Sleeping With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night, distract you from physical sensations, whatever? Does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay to get back? Like, how much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from season eye allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the most important part of the podcast, so I get so excited, and yes, it's faster, it's more paced than the rest of the show, because it's how we're able to bring you the show for free twice a week, are the listeners who support the sponsors, and then go one step beyond that, letting the sponsors know they supported them because they support Sleep With Me. It's huge. That's really how the show is free on every podcast app, and I want to thank Max, who supports supported Headspace and Athletic Greens. Let both sponsors know about it. It's huge. It really, like, I take the time in the show because it is huge. Thank you so much, Max. Max filled out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Like I said, you fill out that form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. I'll send you like a cameo video of me saying thank you. If you support a sponsor, tag them, tag me, let them know about it. Give them a call, send them an email, send them a letter, and let me know about it at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors so I can thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Thank you so much, Max, for supporting Headspace and Athletic Greens. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. If you're in need of extra support, there's links to resources in the show notes you could connect with right now. It's about supporting our communities with our actions, saying Black Lives Matter, saying Stop AAPI Hate, saying Support Ukraine. So there are links to places you can connect with to learn more and to take action right in our show notes. It's also about taking action to support the communities we're a part of beyond that. And one of the organizations I support is the Midnight Mission, offering a path to self-sufficiency for people experiencing homelessness. We're trying to supply them with hygiene kits. You can be a part of our community. Join me. We're doing live streams. We're doing a lot of fun stuff together. You could get a free download of a live show. You could get free streams of our live shows, and you could take a part of, you could feel good about being a part of the community, hanging out with other listeners and supporting other people. And you could do that for free. It's sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. The link is in the show notes. Go ahead and use it. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson. Sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. I'll make it personal. You see, the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud. Biscuit, Lois, Anna, like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter. You'll get free live streams. You can download a live show. sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. Join me. We're going to have a good time, and we're going to help other people. sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. Thanks, everybody, and let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts you're thinking about, like things on your mind from the past, the present, or the future, feelings that are coming up, emotions related to those thoughts or that are just there, you know, feelings that are there, anything physically, sensations coming up for you, if it's a change in your temperature, your time, your routine, life stuff, road bumps, hiccups, holy cow, I don't know if I've ever talked about hiccups before. Well, Scoots, that was three episodes ago, but I'll definitely talk about that tonight, maybe. Let's talk about it now, hiccups, because you could say, once again, we're in, we could do metaphoric, you could do real hiccups. That cat definitely could get in the way, whether it's you or somebody else. So hiccups, real actual hiccups could be keeping you awake. Metaphorical hiccups. I don't know. I really don't know the difference. I'm not kidding. I'll just be perfectly honest. A little bit of a hiccup here. I don't know the difference between a figurative hiccup and a metaphorical hiccup. I guess an assimilian hiccup would be like a hiccup. It should say, okay, what's the difference between those three? Like or as a hiccup? As annoying as a hiccup. So I guess if you were annoyed about hiccups, or so you found something else, and like your sleeping partner. So we got a simile one down. Because you could say your snoring partner, or a partner just sleeping so soundly, or, you know, the idea that someone's sleeping soundly when you're not. Understandably for us, that are listening to the show or making the show now, that could be as annoying as a day full of hiccups, which I think is a simile. So we've properly used, now we're getting to literally versus not literally, but I may have to look up figuratively. So in my misuse of words could be as annoying as a hiccup, an hour long session of hiccups. Hopefully we'll get back to that, though I could forget because my mind is constantly hiccuping. Maybe it is. I don't know. That's actually not a metaphor. I don't think that's an actual metaphor. That's an actual portrayal of how your mind works. And I'd say, well, no, I'd say hiccups have a consistency to them that my mind does not, or regularity. My mind is more like the lulls in between the hiccup lull. There you go. Another imaginary autobiography, a lull in the hiccups. Hold on, I got to write this down. Okay, so, what I meant was like, my mind is like, are they done? Are they going to start again? My mind is more the person waiting, the person trying to help the person with the hiccups or the person with the hiccups. But that's how my mind is all the time. Did those thoughts go away? Nope, there they are again. There are those strong feelings. So whatever's keeping you awake, believe it or not, I'm here to take your mind off of it eventually or slowly and keep you company so that you could fall asleep. And the way I propose to do it is I'm going to try to create a safe place here, a place that kind of feels relatively safe that you could look at, you could enter into, or it could be sent to you, or, you know, you could just barely partake in it. And I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, which means my voice is somewhat soothing, but not traditionally soothing. And pointless meanders and superfluous tangents, which we already went on, a few of those. A little hiccup. That's a hiccup. The pointless meanders were just a hiccup. Who has a hiccup, though? That sounds like something judgmental my internal Nana would say. Who has one hiccup? And I'd say, well, that would be I think that's more of a may I bless you with single hiccups for the rest of your days. That could be part of the book. A lull in my hiccup. I bless you with lull. May all of your hiccups be. Well, it wouldn't be a lull. Lulls are annoying because that means your hiccup's coming back. They say. When did Scooter, he tried to form his own belief system, but it was based around hiccups. He had that thing, instead of the road rising to meet you at your back or whatever, and carrying your footsteps across the sandy beach, he said, may all your days, barely ever be punctuated by just, may all your hiccups be single. Except, you know, on Valentine, you know, except sometimes maybe if the hiccup gets lonely, maybe two, and that's it. I don't know, how do we get in? I'm confounded by hiccups. Oh, because they say it's a hiccup. That's like a pointless meander is kind of like a hiccup, and then I redirect and I go somewhere else. But I'm not kidding. I say, I'm judging metaphors now. Because you say, who came up with that metaphor? Well, it's just a hiccup, I never heard of that, but like other than metaphorically, never seen anybody with just a hiccup. Because you wouldn't even, you wouldn't notice. You'd say, well, was that some weird noise you just made? I don't know. Yeah, it kind of felt like a hiccup, but obviously, I guess this is a pointless meander, but it kind of feels like it has a point, because is anybody nodding their heads while they drift off slowly and get so comfortable? Is this only this, you know, I've lived my whole life and I never realized once again what another, I don't know if the great machine probably came up with that. They said that'll fool them. That'll keep them productive. A metaphor about hiccups that really makes no sense. I mean, almost by definition, this is a man who doesn't know the meaning of figurative or how to properly use it, but it's not a hiccup unless there's a second hiccup, right? I mean, I know they say hiccups. So the first one is a hiccup, but only if there's a second hiccup, right? Get the SATs on the line, because if they want to stay relevant, they probably should get a hold of me. You could laugh at that, because I'm laughing inside to say, well, that's ridiculous, an idea. But here's another idea. SAT and ACT, why don't you get your acts together? I don't know if you're competing companies or not. They say, oh, we're totally nonprofits. Hardy har har. That scooter stuff, that was just a hiccup. Right? I mean, I guess I'm fixated on this, because I said, wait a second, who are you trying to fool with your hiccup metaphor? And again, not to point it out, but we all know who the fool is here today, clearly. And no fooling, I'm here to help you fall asleep with my pointless meanders and superfluous tangents. But when you first get here and listen, the show is very different. So you could feel very strongly about this, especially if you're some sort of wordsmith. But I don't know. I mean, why the heck I guess I'm just wondering. It can't be a hiccup. I mean, technically, I'm sure you say, well, excuse me, by the way, it's the process of a hiccup is your diaphragmic, blah, blah. And I say, okay, great. Thanks anyway. But if you don't have a second one, it's just some weird noise. A single hiccup might actually be pleasurable, but it isn't. I guess you got me. By definition, it's a hiccup. Thanks. But actually, in practical usage, if there's not a second one, it's just like no one's going to notice. Seriously. Like, you might say, was that a hiccup? But then if you don't have a second one, you say, I don't know. Maybe I was, like, trying to hold in a sneeze or something out of my back end, and that's what happened. I don't know. Okay, speaking of back ends, speaking of rear ends, foolish rear ends. So if you're new, a couple things to know. If you're feeling tentative or doubtful or slightly irritable, those are normal reactions to me in the podcast. Because one, you're having trouble sleeping. That's a tough place to be. Two, you've probably tried a bunch of other stuff. Three, maybe you heard a recommendation about this show from somebody and you had an expectation this was going to be a normal, reasonable show. And none of that happened, right? So totally, it's a natural reaction. In fact, at least a million people have said it took two or three tries to get used to the show before I became a regular listener. And only, like, not all those people are regular listeners their whole lives. Like, people come and go depending on what's going on in their life. So give it a couple tries and see if it works. And the reasons are, one, this is a podcast you don't really listen to. Clearly, I'm not dealing, I'm dealing in half-sensible ideas. You say, he almost has a point, but he doesn't realize something he'll realize, 8 months from now. So, this podcast, you just kind of listen to it barely, but you can listen. So if you can't fall asleep or you need a break during the day or you just have a lot going on, I'm here to keep you company like a friend in the deep, dark night and not to put you to sleep. You kind of just fall asleep on your own while I'm here keeping you company, taking your mind off stuff. So my job is less to entertain you or to put you to sleep, but to barely do both. I barely entertain you, and I kind of put you to sleep. Because my job's to be your boyfriend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bestie, your boar burr, your neighbor, your boar bud, your boyfriend, and keep you company. And I'll be here to the very end. So like I said, if you can't sleep, I'm here. But you can also not listen, and I'll be here and tell you a story. So those are a couple of things that can throw new people off. The reason I make the show, I know what it feels like in the deep, dark night. I know what it feels like having trouble getting to sleep and trouble staying asleep. So I'm here to help with that. Like the other side of it is you're important and your sleep is important. You deserve a good night's sleep and you deserve a bedtime you don't dread. And if I can provide that for you, that would be my honor, because your world will be a better place. Your life will be more manageable if you start getting the rest you need and you deserve. I also have a list of other sleep podcasts at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. So if you've already discovered you don't like me or the show, and or you've given it a few tries, you could check that list out, because this show just doesn't work for everybody. But it does work for a lot of people that are looking for something a little bit different, a little bit more friendly. So do give it a few tries if you can, but you don't have to. sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. What else? Structure of the show can throw people off. So let me tell you about that. There's a very specific way we structure the show for specific reasons, but you can kind of adjust how you listen from there. So the podcast starts out with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Then I say something silly or goofy so that you feel seen, you feel welcome, and you get the tone of the show. It's a little bit lighthearted. Then there's support, sponsor support, listener support. That's what enables us to keep the show out, coming out twice a week for free, because that's just what makes that possible. Then there's support for listeners if you have an extra needs right now, and there's support for the communities around the show. So kind of like a couple of different ways. So you're supported, the communities we're in are supported, and the show's free whenever you want to listen. Then there's the intro, which is not part of the support. And the intro goes from around minute 6, minute 8 to like minute 20. And it's where I attempt to explain what the podcast is and I go off topic. And then I try to get back on topic. It takes me like 12 to 20 minutes to do that. And I try to get, you know, I get mixed up. I don't know my figurative from my asinine. I guess if I could be, you know what I'm saying. And, that's part of the intro, is to introduce the show to new listeners. But the reason I make a new intro every single episode and follows the same basic structure is because the intro is a show within a show that not only explains what the podcast is, but gives you time to wind down or get ready for bed or to get comfortable. And while there is a percentage of people that fall asleep during the intro, and then there's a small percentage of people that skip the intro, for most listeners, it's either purposefully part of their wind-down routine or inadvertently part of the wind-down routine. So because everything I've tried, everything I've heard from listeners and from actual sleep science is that having a wind-down routine, having a twilight period between when you're awake and asleep, a landing strip is what works. And so this intro kind of serves that purpose, but it's new every time. So that whatever mechanism in our brain or our body or our feelings kind of keeps us up, I'm still doing a dance to distract that part of you. So you can fall asleep during any point, but for the most part, it's like lowering slowly, you know, calming things down. So that's the intro. Then there's more sponsor and listener support between the intro and the story. Again, so the show can come out twice a week for free. And we have over 450 free episodes available for anybody to listen to anytime, any place, like any podcast app. And then there's a story. Tonight will be our episodically modular, serialized series, Spice Friends. And if it's your first episode, I'm going to fill you in on all the details so you could be caught right up. And then there'll be some thank yous at the end of the show. So that's the structure of the show. That's why I make the show. And, you know, whether you're just having a hiccup in your sleep, like just a short-term thing, like you're expecting something or you're prepping for something, you're a student or something came up, or, you know, you're trying to get better sleep habits, or you just need something to listen to at bedtime, I'm here to help. I'm really glad you came by. I work really hard on the show. So do a lot of other people. A lot of people work really hard on this podcast. I couldn't do it without them and the people that support their work. But I also yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. So thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do this for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody, this is our episodically modular series, Spice Friends with a Touch of Seriality, a little bit more than a touch. But I counteract the seriality by explaining and catching you up on the story here. So this is episode 9, but it could be perfect. I mean, like those space operas, you'd say 1 through 8 were the prequels. And if episode 9 is your first episode, and then you could go back and listen to those ones in any order too, because I'm going to catch up, even if you're a completist. But the episodes are all still in the free feed, so if you did want to go back and listen to episode 1, you could do that. But I think I'm going to give you enough information so that you can listen to it in an episodically modular way, which means whenever you want to in whatever order. So Spice Friends is a tale of a world just like ours. At one point it was just like ours. And then very similar, and you've seen this portrayed in popular media. Like at some time when, like someone once said uranium, and they said half-lives, and they said, oh, we could use this for energy and stuff like that. And then they said, oh, we could also use it on will-based systems, you know, about our wills and our egos. At the same time all that started happening, there was these large dinosaur-like beings that started walking around Earth, particularly to cities. But they also had bad breath, and they would yell a lot, and they kind of seemed very chaotic, and they'd step on stuff and stuff like that. Not sleepy stuff, it just was going on. And obviously, if you live in a world like that, you want to sleep, you say, elected officials, could you do something about these giant things walking around? And, you know, back in the day, they tried stuff like lasers and helicopters and all that kind of stuff. Didn't work. Never worked. And eventually what happened, they tried a bunch of different stuff, including the president of the United States at the time, President Smith, and President Smith's daughter was the vice president, Vice President Smith. President Smith tried removing part of our continent to get rid of one of the big forgot what it was called, I don't know, I had a name in the first episode, but that didn't work. Then President Smith tried becoming a big one, and that didn't work. But it did work to get all of the big ones at that time to a big atoll. And somehow during all this, there's another planet named Planet Zipper who said, hey, we got a plan. I don't know if the President Smith becoming a big one was part of that plan or not. I still haven't gotten that info. But they said, it was revealed, they said, get them to that atoll, send a team of astronauts to our planet, we'll train them, but we'll also put your planet on hibernation. And because of similar to half-lives, when you're in hibernation, everybody's going to wake up at a different time based on size and metabolism. So the big ones will be asleep the longest. And that worked over a history of time. And at that time, you know, some global economic stuff happened. So President Smith, the original President Smith dealt with stuff and then went to another realm. But Vice President Smith, she left politics but returned to leadership during this new post-hibernation world. And she was president of the Collective Nations for a time. She was president of the world, more or less. And or the world that was considered itself the collective nations. Not everybody, I know, like we're just seeing it from that perspective. Then the President Smith was waiting for the astronauts to return. Only one astronaut returned. And the astronaut said, yes, trained on Planet Zipper to teach healthy expression of feelings through song and dance will help deal with the big ones. And she said, I'm sorry, what? And he said, oh, yeah, that's what's going to help. It's got to be genuine, though. And they'd already started a series of programming, like from Planet Zipper's instructions. They had a studio. They had a team set aside. But she had thought, like, that was a supplemental thing, like, to comfort children or something. There was actually a better plan, like lasers or serums or something. And the astronaut said, no. And they said, we got to trust that it's going to work. And what they found out was that, yeah, it did work. It would create these other beings, spice friends, giant spice-based beings, like a giant cinnamon stick or garlic, whatever. And they were helping kind of counteract the big ones, big furry one or beak brain or moth breath. I don't know if there wasn't one called beak brain. There should have been one, but there wasn't. I think there's beak fur face or something, beak fur fish or something. But the spice friends and the big ones, they kind of would do dance offs and they were dealing with one another. But meanwhile, humans were still being humans as only we can be. And so, not every nation was collected as collective nation, and some had, stronger personalities leading them, or groups of personalities, not just only single strong personalities. And they were trying to find ways, to maintain their own, from their own viewpoint. Let's just say that. And they didn't share the idea of the collective nations or that this was the best solution. And some of that kind of disagreement spilled over to the big ones, and it was hard to get a solution that kept consistently working, even though they had all the pieces of the puzzle. People had other ideas of how to deal with it. So it wasn't straightforward as like, okay, we'll teach these kids song and dance and healthy expression of feelings. The Spice Friends will deal with the big ones. In another world, with, some other beings, that might have worked. But, we're just human. We can't, going from A to B, no thank you. That'd be way, it's just not my style. Said a human once. That's how there's been 8 episodes, because you say, okay, it would have been 1 or 2 episodes, right? You say cinnamon stick, did some dancing, got rid of moth breath. Problem solved. Let's move on to fur face or whatever you said. Beak breath or beak brain. So there was a lot of different competing solutions. Most recently, this idea that if we gave everyone, or we had these toys that were based on the Spice Friends and we played with the toys, that would help. And it kind of did seem to work to bring the Spice Friends and the big ones into some sort of like hypnotic parallel play. When parallel play is good, it's always hypnotic or meditative, might be a better word for it. But meanwhile, people were still trying to say, well, we're going to take over the collective nations. And this kind of took place over a little bit of time. So basically, where we are now, President Smith's no longer, there's no more collective nations. Some of the nations, alliances shifted. And also, President Smith and her idea, along with the astronaut, it just lost its gloss. They lost control of the narrative in some sense. And the toy production kind of created, where everybody wanted the toys. It also changed, toys became currency, just these Spice Friend toys. But they were also working at keeping the Spice Friends in parallel play. Now, also, what we hadn't heard until last episode was what happened on Planet Zipper with the astronaut. And a lot was revealed there, which I can summarize. The astronaut went to Planet Zipper. Astronaut was superhuman. I mean, not a superhuman. I guess they're not superhuman. They're super at making human choices that they did a super job at making mistakes, like we all do. And that's something everybody should start saying. Super job spilling that milk. Way to be human. Let's clean it up. How come that doesn't happen? It should. Hey, super job tripping. Let me help you up and let's tie those shoes. So that's what I meant when I say super job of being human. Because, right, if you say, well, we're super friends, we're great at getting in disagreements and then, you know, working them out. That's a tangent. So, so the astronaut got to Planet Zipper, realized that Planet Zipper is kind of like a collective being that's dealing with individual, like that's struggling, was once just a collective being in a series of collect planets of other collective beings, but also experiencing some butting off and then feelings about that. But also that this particular collective being had lived on other planets, but the big ones had slowly made their planets move to another realm, to a big farm planet or whatever you want to call it. And they were the last being of their kind, even though they're dealing with this individualism and saying, how can we manage that? They said, well, we have to kind of, this is like, we're the last planet of this particular species. And what are we going to do? They also really loved Earth. They loved like watching Earth, like not even in a way you could interpret as not comfortable, but they didn't really, they're different than us. So they just liked, they really loved Earth. But in a way, the only uncomfortable way was like, they also realized they could project their feelings to Earth because as a collective being, their feelings are different than individuals and they can be really intense. And I think what we figured out is the big ones may be, the big ones have something to do with the feelings on Planet Zipper. And so I think the way the last episode came back is that the astronaut just bolted out of there because it said, well, but you still have this plan to save Earth because you love Earth, but you also have ulterior motives because you're obsessed with Earth and you need to project your feelings onto Earth. So the big ones, so that they think, I don't know. They're trying to figure out how to deal with their feelings, preserve their way of life. They just see things from their perspective. Understandable. So the astronaut just left while there was like a big debate going on Planet Zipper, got back to Earth, didn't tell the president this until the last episode. But, you know, President Smith, she's a leader. She's a I'm not going to mince my words. She's the heroine we need, maybe with the astronaut's help. And, so I'm sure they'll work through it. Maybe they even did towards the last episode of like the current situation. Still got a planet full of spice friends and big ones. Most of the people Planet Zipper also contacted Earth, said the president and the astronaut aren't to be listened to, but that they have a solution that's going to work. But also it's like, what's up with your ulterior motives? And they said, don't worry, we'll figure it all out, but don't listen to the president and the astronaut. And the president and the astronaut, I mean, of course, they're human, so they have mixed motives, but most of their motives are, let's work this out for everybody the best we can. Let's make the best choice we can based on fairly pure motives of love of doing what they feel is right. But not everybody sees it from their perspective either. Very, you know, this is a human story, as human as it gets. Even though there's a collective space beings and giant friends and non-friends, maybe. So that's it. That's where we are. And now our Hollywood announcer will set up the show. He drove here from Los Angeles. It's the day of the Super Bowl. So I actually didn't even think about that. There's no way he could get home for the Super Bowl because it starts in 3 hours. And if he, you know, that's like 335 miles to Antonio's home, I think. So I guess I'll be watching the Super Bowl with Antonio if he can manage not to make any noise while I record the episode. So, because he's like, he tries. I try. I say, can you not? I don't understand what it is about you. I don't ask for much. I just ask you to drive here from Los Angeles for free, to be uncredited, but, you know, have your to use your charismatic presence to set up a series. Preferably not to use my bathroom, unless after we record, or have any water, food, not win at any board games that we play after we record. During recording, stay as still, like, have total stillness, and then drive back to Los Angeles. Not that I have any problem with him using my restroom. Well, I do. I mean, I don't think I talked about this. It's just when someone that, like, it's just hard for me to use a mirror where someone with, like, whose middle name is Gravitas, then how am I going to look myself in the mirror? It is my issue, I know. But I say, I don't know if I can use that mirror anymore after you've looked in it, because the mirror's going to, like, see right through me. And so this is an opportunity for growth. It also brings me opportunity for growth on a regular basis. So I couldn't do it without him. And, I mean, I guess I totally could, but I enjoy making the podcast so much more with him. And I wouldn't have these growth opportunities to realize I got to find my own internal gravitas. Here's Mr. Antonio Banderas. Thank you, Scooter. Friends beyond the binaries, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for a spicy tale with Spice Friends. Yeah, spicy. You do have gravitas, gravelly gravitas, if you don't mind me saying. It's in the heart. All gravitas, not in the mind, not even actually in the heart. So you're just having a hiccup in your gravitas. What hiccups? I was listening. Hiccups. Yeah. Okay, that's Mr. Antonio Banderas, and this is Spice Friends. Thanks, everybody. All right. Former President Smith recording, I guess is how I'll refer to myself for the time being. I've had a lot of time to process everything, you know, I do trust you if you're listening to this, or I do trust Astro, as now I'm referring to you. And I trust you more so because of everything we talked about, and trying to, you know, those are my feelings. And the world is in a place with strong feelings about us, myself and Astro, as you, that's what the popular, they call me Prez with a Z, and it's not meant as a compliment, but I'll embrace it. And sometimes they call me Princess Prez. They think it's funny, the commentators, and they comment on us. But there's been a lot of debate going on since Planet Zipper has started to contact everyone. And they're sending out these one-way broadcasts, which is interesting because they must know that you know, I don't know, that we could communicate with them whenever we want, unless things have changed on Zipper and they're not observing us at all times. Though I guess you don't know that. One thing I was thinking about is, like, okay, is it some sort of delayed thing? Which it probably is, so maybe they aren't exactly observing us. But, you know, they could, but it would also occur in real time if it was delayed, right? I don't know. I can't think about that too much because that's a rabbit hole we don't need to go down. But Zipper has made it clear that they are our hope, and that Princess Perez and Astro took us off course. They even made shows about characters loosely based on us, two folly-based characters, which is fine. but that their plan is still going to work, that it just needed to, that we were the ones that kind of created this currency deal and the NFTs. And that's what took things off track, was our behavior. And so they are talking about a plan now to the toys are going to be again redistributed under their observation, that everyone will have one toy that then they can turn in, you know, if the toy gets, if it's not usable or they want something, that it's one toy per world or whatever. I don't know what they're saying is. And again, more programming and very similar. While most of our team, our production team, has opted out or been besmirched by their association with, you know, some of the team did elect to be a part of this new solution or returning to the main track of the solution. But yeah, they're putting out more toys, more cereal, more shows, again, based on fairness and feelings and expression. But they've also left it open, as questions have come. They said, this is how, what you need to do. And we're in a waiting place, right? They said to just let the Astro and I do, you know, see if we will respond. And, you know, we've sought out some privacy and with our production team. And we're just kind of playing a waiting game. And, I, you know, I'm having trouble having full hope in this. I you know, Astro, I got trust in you now. And now the question of trust in me and what's next is I say, okay, all will be well, M. Otter said. And that's been one of my guiding, I guess it's funny when you talk about investing your hopes in toys or the stars, but it really has been a guiding star of mine that all will be well. And so I'm waiting to kind of see, because, you know, not everyone has been going along with what Zipper's been asking. And there's certain, you know, the NFTs are not being distributed evenly, even at this time. And Planet Zipper made it clear that, and I guess that's where, I guess, the lull in communication, everything takes longer, which is probably good because it gives us time to process stuff. And you say, what is a lag in reaction and action? And that's not an easy place to exist in that lag, but it also could be that pause that people talk about. So I'm waiting to see what happens with this pause. And hoping to hear your thoughts, or that our thoughts are being, you know, that this helps me, and I know it helps you. Astro here, Madam President, you might be comfortable with what they call you, Princess, Princess. I'm not, you're Madam President to me. I don't even know if I like Madam, but it, like, if it was just by itself, but it does, to me, symbolize your authority and my deference to your leadership in a way that's, that I trust. And it's been a little while. I was listening to your recording, and we were waiting, and it's clear some of the things I saw in Zipper are still at play. And maybe they've even learned more because, yeah, the NFTs were still being collected by certain members of the Bontons, and the Bontons had made a few demands. Certain portions of the Bontons, certain leadership groups within the Bontons, and then Zipper said, "Okay, are you sure? Because we can't." They said they could, they said the big ones aren't going to like that. This is the only plan that'll work. Again, they just reiterated their position. And I don't know, if I was the only one that saw what was below that in the subtext or else. but they made it more sound. And I guess in some sense, it could have been both because they said, don't, please, just listen to us. It was like, don't do that because the big ones are going to react and the Spice Friends may react. And they were right. And the big ones returned, left Parallel Play. And went to the places the toys were collected. And, you know, some of the Bonton leadership that was more, whose arms they considered strong, they're not leading anymore. It didn't take long, right? And Zipper kind of said, see, please, just try our plan. You've seen what happens when you don't try or you barely try or you, because there was also not obvious leaders with strong arms. There were also leaders that, you know, were a little bit more subtle, but with the same motives of being right or making the most of what they saw as an opportunity. And Zipper kind of reiterated. And again, they also, you know, sent messaging to the groups working on the programming, which I don't necessarily have a negative view of. The programming is very good. It's still trying to teach children the joy of song and dance. But I, you know, I have unease with it since I'm not in charge of it, I guess is part of it, but it's like, I don't know. I guess maybe I was operating from wrong motives too. But you said we've talked, and I guess we didn't record our personal inner conversations. But you know, you said, how are we going to deal with this? Right now, it's clear Zipper's in control, and their plans rolling out, we should, you know, have some resistance to it. And you're trying to decide and we'll follow your lead of how strong do we resist, right? Because as more and more information comes in from Zipper, it's, you know, yeah, I don't know. So I guess I'll see what you say. As this next, you know, now that the toys are being redistributed and most anyone in a leadership position that was going to resist, which makes me kind of think like, I'll take any risk you want, Madam President, but because I know, as you say, all will be well. But it's also, you know, hard to just determine, you know, which way do we take all this? This is Prez here, and big ones have kind of made a little bit more, mostly through the programming, and maybe I am reading in between the lines, but they're kind of talking about this. The big ones haven't retreated, right? The Spice Friends are kind of still inactive. And I don't quite understand that, or how Planet Zipper is doing that, and what we can do to kind of awake the Spice Friends, or what should we do? As you said, will the big ones just know if we're pursuing active resistance? And what are we resisting exactly? Like Zipper's kind of between the lines, if I'm interpreting what they're saying, they say, okay, now we're going to allow you to live in these beautiful, we love you and we want you to live in the beautiful conditions you've been living in. But they'll just be, we want to help you make sure they're tolerable and you'll live with the big ones in a tolerable way. But I know there's something below that when you see a big one, right? There's awe and other feelings there, especially when we know that, and they say, we can't let you, you have to let us help you. Otherwise, you know, the big ones will just roam around just like they did with these Bonton leaders and using the recent events to prove their points. And also, you know, they must know I guess, but no one would listen to Astro or I say, well, they have an ulterior motive. No one's questioning that other than that they say they love us so much and they've dealt with the big ones, but not that they need us, that we're helping them. And then part of me is like, was it so wrong for us to help them? Is this what it was like when the times and other cultures with these gods? Were these gods, is there some sort of part of recorded history that's missing and this is happening again with feelings from another world being projected into our world and giant demigods and titans roaming the earth? But the fact that they're doing it to preserve their way of life, is that just some rebel in me that says, no, 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 no. We have to have our own destiny here. Is there something I need to loosen in me? But right now it feels like I do need to resist. And so we're headed to kind of try to see what's going on with the Spice Friends and to get them back moving and so that's our current plan, is to reawaken the Spice Friends and build some resistance through that. Who else? We'll see how it goes. Okay, Madam President, there's a few things since your last message that have become clear, is that most of Earth has embraced Zipper's plan. And they like the idea of the programming is good. I guess programming sounds like something else, but it's just, it is good. It's quality. And it's not, if I didn't have these underlying feelings, would I accept it more? If I didn't, you know, it's like I'm projecting, just like Planet Zipper is, I'm projecting what I know about Zipper and my feelings about that onto the programming. But the idea of this fairness and one toy, one world, and using the toy, and again, some of the ideas we had, role-playing and all these things to express your feelings. But also, there is this undercurrent that it's not a matter of me mixing it up. It's that... you're trying to control feelings instead of express them and then let them dissipate. It's it's something different. It's that lowering the range of the feelings, not through expression. I don't know. Can you control feelings or can you experience them? It's never been tried on a global scale before. And again, for what motive? I guess it's one thing to moderate or to modulate your own feelings for your own well-being, or learn those tools to help you in self-care or care in interpersonal relationships. But to do all that in a way, but you're manipulating your feelings for some other motive, or is it right? Or does it even matter? At this point, it doesn't matter because most people have embraced the plan and they say, well, what's the trade-off? The big ones running around, or the big ones, occasionally causing some chaos that could be attributed to, and they say, well, it's almost reminiscent of the big ones are like those back before your father, all those, what are those called, medias of socialing or whatever, that you say, well, you parked that way, and now the big ones are doing that instead of the social medias. You can't park... And people are feeling empowered by the big ones when they say, oh, well, that neon sign is too bright. And the big one just made it go bye-bye. Having that underlying looming. So we do have to take action, but unfortunately so far our actions have been unsuccessful. you know, we've been working from the perspective of the big ones, or the Spice Friends and the big ones respond to song and dance and feelings. And we've been trying to use our song and our dance and our feelings to get the Spice Friends going. And they started stirring a little bit. But at the same time, the big ones started stirring too. And instead of coming to where we were, which is kind of what we thought, and we were prepared for that. So maybe the big ones coming, it's worth the risk, right? Do we have to stand up for what we think might be right? And we're still trying to refine our plans. But the big ones, instead of stirring right now, the Spice Friends, you know, they're moving around and they're aware of us and they're hearing the sounds, but it's like they're lackadaisical or something. And most of the feelings are going into the big ones, maybe. I don't know, because there's no way to track any of this except by inference. But the big ones stir more and more, but they don't come here. So we're hoping to get them to come here. Then we're like, okay, but they're walking around. Is that because of our behavior or some other behavior? So we're going to take a pause for a while in our action and observe the big ones' actions and the Spice Friends' actions and then see what happens. Okay, Prez here. Well, we took a pause and the Planet Zipper and... Planet Zipper's, well, not even Planet Zipper anymore. Things have kind of, as Earth has embraced the plan, I don't think Zipper even needs to be involved anymore. They're just watching and watching me now, but on a delay, but it won't be a delay when it, anyway. So we took a break from our actions with the Spice Friends to see what the big ones would do, and the big ones rested or went back to, you know, only doing things when people's feelings get too strong or too self-based, which says, wait, are they moving us towards a collective feeling by looming big ones? I don't know if that's necessarily true, or if it's just we're still the outlet for their feelings. Maybe this is the debate that had been going on there, like instead of... maybe they realize that they can't eject all of their feeling into Earth, but that we're their outlet for their feelings. They're projecting their feelings a little bit to dissipate them. And again, it's like, whoa, boy. And I guess the ego comes up. It's like, do they really need to do that? Because they're not a human. They're not a mammal. Is that so who am I to say that's but I say, well, we have a boundary. We're Earth. While you may need to do that, you're going to have to find somewhere else to do it or find a way on your planet to do it. But that ego has been, I've been made well aware of that failure of ours because... as soon as the pause came and it was clear that our actions were stirring up the big ones, the entire Earth, which already had strong feelings about us, so the majority of Earth, they got honest with us, which was even harder. But we needed to hear it, I think, to move on, that our resistance plans had an impact on other people, that our need to be in control, or my need to be in control, was doing the opposite of Emma Otter. All was not well because of me, which was true, no matter what my motive was. I had to change, we had to change our actions and say, okay, well, you're right. I apologized, you apologized, and we said, you don't have to, we tried to make things right. But it also went back to kind of where we are when I was trying to rebuild trust with you. It's like, okay, so we need to surrender and have hope that all will be well. I was trying to make everything well instead of trusting. How are we going to, if we surrender and give up resisting, like for the time being. I'm not saying, you know, if you're listening to this, you've probably already seen some other action zipper. But, you know, where do I find my feelings and my hope and the next thing to do? And it's like, okay, hope and surrender seem to be what we're being called to do right now. And so we're pitching the world with the show, leaning into also their feelings about Astro and I. And also there's something else happening as this plan has been kind of going on and time is passing, that I think something else is at play. But we'll see. So we're going to work on a new show that leans into all of this. And we'll see how it goes. And our team is strong. You know, we have a bond. We're going back to our roots, but also giving in at the same, not giving up, but giving some space or something. Okay, Madam President, the show, I guess we haven't recorded. It's been a while. So we started a cooking show. I guess this is Astro here. A cooking show for people to come on and who had strong negative feelings about it's called President Astro Cooking Show. And for spicy feelings about us. And it's a very popular show. It was hard, and luckily we have a whole team, because it quickly became a parody of itself, but we've been able to evolve from there. You know, where people come out and cook spicy dishes, or we cook with them, or we have a chef. And it finds out majority of us had very strong negative feelings about the president and I. And that they could express them on the show, and we could accept their feelings, and we could put it into the food. And then we could eat a meal together afterwards and with other guests that maybe didn't make it on the show but shared those feelings, or family members and those kind of things. But we've been doing it now for quite a while. It's been a while since I recorded this, and the show had gotten more and more popular. Zipper did not seem to react, because it was clear that we were had surrendered, right? We weren't resisting Zipper anymore. We weren't resisting people's feelings about us. We were simply acknowledging it and actually letting them express it. But we noticed, and now it's become beyond noticeable over time, is the feelings got less and less spicy. And then we tried other things, or other flavors, or citrusy, or, you know, we tried sweet, savory. And this reflects in the overall pattern on Earth, which leads us to where we are now. Like, the flavors got weaker and weaker and weaker, and people's interest in strong flavors. And again, we couldn't resist that. We had to surrender. People said, this is too strong. And it happened so subtly. Week after week after week after week, show after show after show, it was like, okay, let's keep saying yes, or what is it? And this was reflective of a broader thing on Earth that it wasn't about the weather, but I'm going to talk about the weather. Like a pet on a hot day has how things have gotten emotionally on the Earth. Something about this mechanism and something about that and keeping things. Again, I don't understand any of it, but whatever Zipper's plan is, over time has dulled things. Made the people lackadaisical. The cooking is just, again, another related expression of that. Just like the pet is a metaphor, lying around on a hot day, or like a human being without air conditioning, right? Or going through some strong feelings, or a lack of feeling is that it's just we got to the show, but we also never winked, right? Like, we just went with it, right? So people wanted to make mush or mash or they just want to sit around and talk about water. And I don't know why we're able to keep some distance from it, but we have been. Mash, mush, meal. And we even tried to book guests that were the most, that refused to come on the show before. And the other thing is the show's never been more popular. Like, it's grown in popularity, and the content has been, I don't know, they said, what is happening with this lackadaisical, but it's obvious what's happening, right, to the president and I. But we said, well, what is it, what do we do? So we're trying to process that. We've said yes, we've surrendered, and Earth has kind of surrendered in a sense, you know, for what people made the best decision they could at the time, and probably the correct decision. But decisions aren't forever, right? We make it, just like the show has changed, it's led us to this point, to near a decision point or a curiosity point, as you talk about, Madam President. And so it's okay, what's next? Because it's oh, wait, even though we've surrendered, being in control of the outcome, we haven't surrendered, period, end of story, right? All will be well. So, I guess it's waiting and discerning and trying to find what action do we take if we have a choice here. I'm trusting that, like you say, together, you, I, and the entire team, you know, even though we're the only ones recording it, it's the entire team that's helping us make these choices. Prez here. So it's interesting. We made a choice to see what would happen because we said, okay. Well, we kept coming up with lists of ideas. We said, okay, let's just keep coming up with lists of ideas. And even some of the staff, though they had been engaged, the hot summer day thing was affecting even them. But we said, let's just keep listing ideas and ideas and ideas of if we want to change direction in the show, where do we go? And what do we do? And I and Astro, you were coming up with lists two separately. That's when you came back to me and said, you trust me, right? I told you my story and you trust me. And I said, yeah. And I said, yes. And then you said, yeah, this is what got us here. You trusted me. And I trusted you to tell you. And so you told the staff your story, and then the ideas started to flow again. We would have you as a guest on the show instead of as a host. Our show's at peak popularity. Almost everyone was watching the show at some point, which was inexplicable. And again, we decided not to go too aggressive. Like, you could be a guest again, but to just kind of talk about your, what happened in a general way. And on your trip to Planet Zipper and on Planet Zipper and your return. But, kind of saying yes to Zipper's plan, and it seems to have put to plant the seed, I guess. And so you came on the show, and we talked about it, and we talked about your favorite foods. But again, making it where the show was, we just made instead of making pizza, we just made a crust. Which just makes me laugh because we took it seriously. we rehearsed it, and we had been through it with so many other guests, but never, let's have, well, my favorite food was pizza. Let's just make a pizza crust. We'll even, I guess all you need to do is pair bake it. But that's when you express the one thing we felt like Earth didn't know. And that they only needed to know as a seed is that there's one more motive for zippers, that they need us. And that you even said it, like, I'm not even sure how to feel about helping them as a person. We're talking about feelings and your feelings towards me. And in an honest way, you're saying, well, yeah, like, but I'm supposed to help, like, by just giving in to this plan and letting the big ones exist and making a show to help moderate feelings. Like, we're helping Planet Zipper because they have to have us. We have to do this for them. And it's different than human to human because, like, it's one thing to help another human being where it's kind of, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, we do need to help one another and we need to get help as people. And in some sense, even like, but it's different when it's a planet kind of where it's like, or the big one will run around. Also, we didn't tell you that that's why. So you talked about how complicated the feelings are because you said, well, what is it really that different than helping another person, helping a planet? I'm confused. And this was a real discussion and I had real feelings about it too, real feelings of confusion and about how our egos and our choices had impacted others and how there wasn't a neat answer. And actually, that it was just a stirred up complicated feelings, saying, well, can we say yes to helping Zipper? You know, maybe feeling strong feelings isn't necessary as a human being. Maybe Zipper's right. That was the weakest point because you were honest. You said, but I don't think I can accept that. I want my strong feelings back. Is that so wrong? I don't want to be dominated by my strong feelings. I can see where there is sense that back with the Spice Friends and the big ones. But it's like the idea of, and you know, just kind of you almost not even being able to speak, rah, 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 like you say. I don't know what the choice is. And once that seed was planted, again, we kept having guests on, and then that's all they could talk about. And the food started to change and got more and more spicy. But it was quickly apparent that the big ones, but at first, I don't think Zipper knew. Again, they couldn't see the slow progression, the slow growth of that plant as the roots took hold and said, wait a second. And more of like not, again, a lot of the sentiment has been anti-Zipper at this point and trying to say, whoa, we're trying to say, okay, those are feelings though. And the feelings about the big ones and the spite, why aren't the Spice Friends doing anything? But what's been interesting is this other idea that came out of it, which is like, what we're doing next is saying, you know, as the big ones have become more and more spicy, or as the shows become more and more spicy, the big ones are stirring, but they're confused too, because they're not causing chaos. They're just kind of, I don't know. And I said, well, what if we bring our show on location, just like they did back in the day? We started having the guests right there. The feelings right there in front of the Spice Friends, what would happen? And that slowly, it seems like the big ones are headed. You know, we did it out in the middle of nowhere, out in one of the great places where there's, you know, it's very arid. I mean, that's where some of the Spice Friends were resting, not populated, in, you know, playing or whatever they've been doing for a long time now. And the spice friends are stirring, and the big ones are coming. I know they're coming. And I don't know what's next. And I don't know, is there a way we could find to work together with Zipper and the spice friends of the big ones or not? But I know it feels good to be moving out of this funk the earth was in and moving somewhere. Again, it's like we're flowing with the stream. We were fighting upstream, and that didn't work. But flailing about didn't work either. But being here and deliberately going with the flow, but keeping one another, you know, we're going somewhere. We're just not totally in control. We don't know where we're, you know, it's like, just like Emma Otter said when I was a child and I read those books and saw those films, all will be well. She never said what would be well. So again, we're going to rest, we're going to trust, and we're going to keep at this. And I know soon we'll be here filming our cooking show on location with the Spice Friends and hopefully the big ones as guests, or even an idea that came up that Astro, you came up with this. What about some sort of feelings buffet for all of them? Like if the feelings are bringing them here, what's next? I don't know, but I do know I can trust right now that we'll do our best and that all will be well. So thanks for listening, and look forward to working together to help one another through that. Thanks. I want to thank people who reviewed the podcast recently. Megan, Amanda, thank you. This is an old faithful podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bridger said this is the best way to fall asleep. Personally, my favorite episodes are Mandalorian. I listen to those a lot. Check out the book Boba Fett. Yeah, I've only watched one episode now, but I'm going to try to check some more of it out soon. And finally, Yellowstone says, Yellowstone Glitch. Amazing. People say it usually takes a while to get used to it, but honestly, I liked it from the start. Thank you. Junipers, amazing 5 stars. I don't get very, very far into the episode before I fall asleep. Thanks. So thanks everybody who reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts shares the podcast, on social media or just in forums, wherever it is. Just your honest experience with the podcast is a giant boost to the show. You can join our referral program, sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. And couldn't do it without people that support the show, share about the show, support our sponsors. That's how we're able to be here free on all podcast apps twice a week when I'm recording this. I really, really am so grateful for all the support, those people that take action to support the show. Thank you so much. And here's one of these tuck you in sponsors, the people that support the sponsors. That's over now 456 episodes, I think, in the feed. Thanks to all the people that I appreciate it. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boar Friends level. I have 4 podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleeping Beauty Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season 1 part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd all intro episode came out, and then we had March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, yeah, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But yeah, like, this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? and building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support, support@supercast.com. And good night.